Thank you for listening to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church of Enfield, Connecticut. We hope and pray that these messages from Pastor Gary will be a help to you. You can find out more about our church at www.fbcenfield.com or find us on Facebook. God bless and enjoy the message.
For this church, but every soul in this world, that they would understand how much you want to bless them, that they would turn their face toward you, God, and accept you so that you can shine your goodness and your glory upon them, God. We thank you so much for all the blessings that you give us on a daily basis, and we thank you for the blessing of being able to worship you this morning. We just pray that you would receive all the praise and the honor in all that we say and do. We love you, and in your name we pray. Amen.
Be seated. James chapter 1 this morning. James chapter 1. And how many times have you said to your kids, you are trying my... You guys are good this morning. There's an upside of the COVID-19 crisis. It has tested our patience. It has tried our patience, something that we don't like. And we don't like it when our kids try our patience. And you would think with all the kids I have, I would have a lot of patience. But we don't. And we don't always learn those lessons. There was a man in the supermarket, and he was going around his screaming baby. And a woman nearby noticed him, and he kept saying, "Keep calm, Albert, keep calm." And as the baby was screaming, he'd be saying, "Keep calm, Albert, keep calm." And the woman had to come up to him and said, "Sir, I must commend you for your patience with your baby, Albert." And he looked at her and he said, "I'm Albert." So have you ever honked your horn waiting for someone? I won't say who that is. Have you ever ran a red light justifying that it was probably yellow? Have you ever cut the line in the supermarket because you were in a hurry? Silent on that one. That's a shaming one, right? Have you ever broken something because you were in a hurry or rushing? So we all have that tendency to hurry. And we say it in our society, right? We ask people, if you notice, "Hey, how you doing?" "I'm busy." It's almost a badge of honor. "I'm busy." Is it good to be so busy that you forget the important things in life? Is it good to be too busy? And maybe through this time we've gone through, we've been to evaluate how busy we were and how busy we really need to be and how much time we need to spend on the important things. And so life isn't about being in a rush. Life is about living for God and waiting on God. And as we go into this text, we're going to be talking about patience. And when I talk about patience, it's not, I don't want you to get in your mind, it's sitting around waiting. And in the context of this passage, patience is enduring. Some verses translate this enduring or striving or going forward when everything seems against you. So patience isn't just laying back doing nothing. Patience is continually striving when everything is against you or when everything is uncertain, where you're not sure what the future will be. Patience is a struggle. Here's a few quotes about patience. Patience is the ability to wait or continue doing something despite difficulties, or to suffer without complaining or becoming annoyed. I just thought about that. I put that in the kitchen. Impatience breeds anxiety, fear, discouragement, and failure. Patience creates confidence, decisiveness, and a rational outlook, which eventually leads to success. One moment of patience may ward off a great disaster. One moment of impatience may ruin a whole life. Think about that one. And then Hebrews says this, for you have need of endurance. Now, the same word translated patience. You have need of patience. You have need of endurance. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And so here we see that endurance, patience is tied to a vision of doing the will of God, facing difficulties, but understanding that the outcome is in God's hands. That the outcome, we're trusting God for the outcome, even when we don't see the outcome now. And even in Hebrews, he's talking to the believers that had lost their houses because of their faith in Christ. In James, he starts off this passage to the tribes that are scattered abroad. So these Jews were scattered throughout the provinces, throughout the counties, throughout the towns. And their life was turned upside down. I can remember in Romania many times meeting people that they would say they were from another part or they were from Bulgaria. And when they did the borders after wars, they would take whole populations and just move them. And I can remember one lady in a train, an older lady we had given a Bible to, and she talked about how she had two suitcases. The authorities came, filled two suitcases, we're moving you. And that's kind of what happened here. They were in great uncertainty. And they were probably thinking, as many of us think, and many people today want to blame God for problems. Hey, God, why are you doing this? Why is this happening? We want some certainty. We want some security in our lives. And we'll probably be asking similar questions today, right? Like, will we go back to school? The governor said he'll make a decision in August. That's three possibilities, right? Full school, half school, homeschool. So we don't know which one. I think they should go to school right now to make up for the school they missed. Amen? Do I get amen from the parents? And we're wondering, are things going to be better? A few weeks ago, we thought things were going to be better. Now it's coming back, so we're not sure. A lot of uncertainties. I read this week a church in Atlanta, mega church, they're not starting services till January. And so it's very difficult. Personally, for me, it's been difficult to have patience. It's been like I'm ready to get back to the program. And I'm wondering, what does that mean? And so we need patience. And so three words we're going to pull out of this passage this morning. And the first one is perspective. Perspective. Notice, now, I know you're going to like this. This is why we don't read the Bible sometimes. So here the tribes are scattered abroad. They're wondering what's going on. James starts his letter out, gets right into it. You know, James doesn't fool around. He just tells it like it says, like it is. And he says, brethren, count it all, what's the word?
Joy.
Joy. So the next time your kids aggravate you, count it all joy that you have an opportunity to learn patience. Amen? That wasn't too convincing. He says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So we're getting God's perspective on trials. He's saying trials, you should be joyful in trials because they produce something. They're going to produce something in your life. You need to readjust your perception of trial. So I did this week. I know we're all struggling with masks. Amen? No, you know, it's a hot topic, right? And some of us are pro, some of us are against, some of us don't know. So I've been kind of a little bit annoyed with it, but, you know, when I read this passage, I'm changing my perspective. And so I got on the internet. I couldn't find them on Etsy, on Amazon. I found them on Etsy, but I got some masks coming in this week. One says, Jesus is essential, the same yesterday. So I can't wait to wear my mask in public. I am excited that if I'm required to wear a mask, now I'm going to have a mask with a gospel message. And so I'm excited for when they come in, because Etsy doesn't have two-day delivery, but that's all right. So changing our perspective. And a lot of times, trials God allows so that we can change our perspective. We need to change how God is doing things. Notice a few verses that James said in James chapter 5. He says this, talking about the prophet, as an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. How many of the prophets, and we could go into the Old Testament and talk about the prophets who came and gave God's message, Jeremiah, who was thrown into prison, and what happened? His word was fulfilled. And when Nebuchadnezzar came into Jerusalem, he said, keep Jeremiah safe. Verse 11, behold, we consider those blessed who remain, what? Steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Now, Job did not understand his trials as something to be joyful about. But if you've ever studied the book of Job and Job's conclusion, it's a powerful verse in chapter 42. At the end, Job says this. He says, I've heard about you, but now I know you. And that's what trials do. We've heard about God. We know a little bit about God, but it's during the trials that we get to know God. So this word joy means, this word patience means endurance, consistency, enduring patience, continuance, waiting. So this joy, these trials produce patience. And he says, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete. You know what the problem is? We struggle today with focusing on God's purpose. Instead, we focus on our own desire. Skip that slide because I wrote it wrong. Sorry. The problem is that today we're focusing on our desire, not God's will. We want God, what do we want? We want God to take the trial away. So the first word is perspective. We need to take we could probably have the whole sermon on perspective. That God is sovereign, that our steps are ordered by God, that he knows what's best for us. That even Paul, when he wanted to go to Asia, God brought him to Macedonia. God changes our plans. And so I think the perspective is you gotta give up your plans. We have this idea today that God is around to help us fulfill in our plans. That's not, God wants us to walk with him. He wants to guide our steps. He wants to show us our steps, guide us where we're going to be going. And so the second word in this passage is growth. Notice what it says in verse 4. 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's why I said the patient pursuit of perfection. The problem today is that we want relief. But God's perspective is this: growth is more important than relief. Growth is more important than relief. We want relief, but are we willing to grow? This is why sometimes people become angry with God. God, why didn't you relieve this? And God's saying, I want you to grow. I want to perfect your faith. The trial of your faith should bring joy. Because God is doing a work in your life. Let me ask you this morning. How have you grown through this time? What has changed in your heart? How are you different? What are the things God has revealed to you that you need to grow closer to Him? Don't waste a good pandemic. Don't let it go by and you are still the same or worse. If you're still struggling with the same thing over and over, you're not growing. Let patience have its perfect work. Let endurance, let the struggle. Yes, the Christian life is definitely a struggle. The Christian life isn't easy. You're fighting the world, the flesh, and the devil. So it's not going to be easy, but he's talking about this patience, this endurance, this striving. I've often said in our churches we've rejected legalism, but we've also rejected spiritual disciplines. That's dangerous because there's still spiritual disciplines. We still take up our cross and follow Christ. I wish we were as meticulous about our Christian life as this groom about, as some men are about their cars. I'm sure this marriage didn't last long. But have you ever met people that are very, now you know I'm not like that. You've seen my cars. But you know how some people are very meticulous about their cars? They notice, you know, if a leaf brushed by it or anything. I wish Christians were that concerned about their spiritual lives. He says that you might be perfect. This word perfect means to grow. Mental and moral character. Completeness. Full of age, mature. That's what this word perfect means. Doesn't mean that you're going to become perfect. It means you're going to grow. You're going to be mature. You're going to start learning how to deal with life. And, you know, think about the frustration you have. I think of a particular 14-year-old that I know that can be very frustrating when you think, is he kind of mature? And you see glimpses of hope and then great valleys of disappointment. Maybe God feels like that about us sometimes. He sees this growth, but then we fall back. And so what do we need? We don't like it. You don't want to hear it, right? But what you need is another trial. And so he's counted all joy when you have these trials. Why? Because through the suffering, through the struggle, you grow. And so perspective. perspective is we see life from God's perspective, a kingdom perspective. We're living for the kingdom of God. So what does God want to do? Maybe he'll bring something uncomfortable in our lives. Number one, he wants to grow us. Number two, maybe he wants to change our direction. Maybe he wants us to look for kingdom opportunities. And we can't, we got to avoid being so focused on our own desire that we miss what God has for us. And so perspective, and then growth, that you may be perfect. Have this endurance that you may grow. It takes time. It takes effort. And then the third word is faith. Verse 5 says this, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. What is wisdom? Wisdom is knowing how to use knowledge. A lot of us know the Bible, but do we have the wisdom in knowing how to use the Bible in our daily lives? And he's saying, as you go through these trials, patience isn't just sitting around and waiting for it to get over. Patience is actively doing God's work and having the wisdom to see where God is directing you. But then he says this, but let him ask in what? Faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the wind, wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And he goes on to say, that man shall not receive anything of the Lord. So it's faith. We have to be faith. We have to have the faith that God has this. He has our back. He's working this out for his glory. We need the faith to believe that God will work in our lives. Now, let me give you an illustration. How I've seen patience in my life. It's working with computers. I've always said, you can't learn the computer unless you're willing to miss a few nights sleep. The perspective is, the computer won't work, so this is an opportunity to learn how to fix it. Growth is I will continually click the mouse, I guess, to try to fix the computer. Faith is that there is a solution. I've always had this concept about computers. It's not the dumb computer's fault, because the computer just does what it's programmed to do. It's the dumb programmer. Okay? So computers don't think on their own. They do what you command to do. And I can remember many, many times having computer problems and finding the solution because it's taken a lot of patience and a few broken monitors. No, just kidding. But it's the patience. And I think that is in our lives. We need to have the patience, maybe in our marriage. Maybe with friendships, maybe with a job, maybe with school. We're too quickly, we give up too quickly. So, well, this can't be done, or I can't learn this, or I'm too dumb. No, you need some patience. You need some endurance. You need some faith. You need to keep trying. You need to keep sticking with it. You need to realize that there are no easy solutions. And I think that's the problem in our culture. We want a pill. We want easy solutions. Sometimes it takes hard, enduring work to work through the solutions. Because God said, God's perspective is, count it all joy. And we're thinking, God, now, I want relief. Just relieve me of this trial. And God's saying, no, I've given you a growth opportunity because I want you to be perfect. I want you to grow. I want you to be changed. I want life for you to be different. Somebody wrote, I spent many years struggling with addiction. And while praying every day to be released from Satan's grip, I often wondered why God never answered my prayer and when it would all end. But when it did come to a close, I landed in prison. That's the day I know God had a plan for me and I had to trust him. 2 years later, I got a job in a detox unit. It was hard. It was a hard storm to navigate, but I kept my faith the entire time. I know that the storm was God's plan for me to help others. Today, I'm an advocate for people who are challenged by addictions, and I'm thankful to the Lord for all his blessings. It is because of him that I can fly above the storm and make a difference. Trials are evidence that God is working in your life. They're not pleasant, they're painful. But they have a goal to produce patience, endurance, and steadfastness. It is through these trials that God performs a work in our lives. And so, this morning, as we struggle in this time, let's realize that, in a way, God has given us something to rejoice about. Let's not focus on relief. Let's focus on growth. Let's not focus on the next government mandate. Let's focus on God, how God wants to change our heart. Let's not focus on what others are doing or aren't doing. We need to focus on our own selves and to have the faith that God can give us the wisdom. Maybe you're facing some questions. And we all are. Work-related, school-related, relationship-related. You're facing some difficult questions this morning. Ask God for wisdom. This trial isn't an accident. This trial is there because God wants to change our hearts. I don't want to be the same. I don't want to become bitter. I don't want to become angry. I don't want to become lazy. I want God to do a work. And so we could look back at this time and say, you know what, that was the time that God taught me to pray. I wasn't praying before COVID-19. I barely prayed, or I wasn't reading my Bible, or I was holding on to bitterness, or I wasn't saved. I came to church all the time, but I didn't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe this is time that you need to start a relationship with Jesus through this time. One of my good friends Blackstone Valley Baptist Church, John McLean, he was one of those guys who just helped you all the time. He would help me with my car. Always there. Still talk to him to this day. But he'd relate how he was an angry, mean man. And he was at work. Picked up a big piece of steel. Fell. Hurt his back. Still has back pains to this day. But you know what he says? If it wasn't for the accident, I wouldn't have been saved. God's perspective. Let's get back to God's perspective of trials. Let's stand and pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we give you praise this morning. We thank you for all that you've done. Lord, we don't understand the trials sometimes. They're hard, they're painful, they're difficult. Lord, sometimes we just want relief. We want them to go away. We don't want to do the hard surgery of our heart, Lord. We just want to put on our mask and pretend there's nothing there that God's trying to weed out. Lord, change us and mold us this morning. Help us to have patience in these times and enduring, steadfast patience to continue to strive, even when we don't always see the results. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. As you go out, the offering plate is there. There's also some cucumbers and rhubarb if you'd like to take home. Just take them. God bless. Have a great day.